Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 144 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Everybody,
watch out.
We ran out of things to talk about again.
It's not we ran out of things, it's that we genuinely care what our listeners think and want to know. So we've asked them to ask us what we should answer on their behalf because of what they asked us.
We don't want done one of these since September.
It's been a while. So yes, this show is yours, dear listener.
Yep.
And a number of you have added things to both our forum at www.vanhemlock.com /forum. Console TV thing. There's links. You can find it.
The two URLs are interchangeable.
Indeed. And also, we've combined it in with the Twitter question as well, and just got people on Twitter to ask us things also. So it's like one massive Twitter question section.
Yep.
This week.
So
why don't you kick us off? What have we got?
Okay. Well, we're basically going with.
There's quite a few historical ones here.
Yes, we're going back to October here.
Aha.
Trinit asks us to tell us more about the ice cream van. Does it do whippy or scoop? Wafer or waffle cone?
Well, the thing with the ice cream van is it stopped coming, and we're a bit worried, actually.
It's March.
But we heard it during a December recording,
yeah.
At like about 7 o'clock on a dark winter's night, and that was the last we ever heard of it, so we think the wolves got it.
My brother, when visiting one day, did suggest that maybe it was selling drugs like the one near where he was working at the time was doing.
It's a rather blatant no-go area, isn't
it? So it's quite possible that they only sell drugs.
But hopefully, don't panic, dear listener, because the evenings are becoming lighter again, and we think we might hear the return of the ice cream van. I think in reality what's actually happened is that we record a bit later than usual, so we tend to miss him nowadays. Partly because we record much later.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll have to see.
Let's have a serious question about games. Have we got one?
Okay. Els said, so if you had 100 million to spend on creating a new MMO, where would you go wrong? What would you build and why?
No, let's take him at face value. What can go wrong with 100 million spending on an MMO? I think that's a far more interesting proposition.
Well, fast cars.
Yeah, I think designing your own engine from scratch, probably. Is that much more expensive than buying an off-the-shelf thing with speed trees and Havocs?
Oh, it's a lot more expensive.
Okay, so I think changing what the thing is halfway through its development cycle. That's
sometimes repeatedly.
That's a good way to, I'm not saying anything tabula rasa, but that's a good way to burn an awful lot of money. Any time you have to throw out everything you've done over the last 2 years and start from scratch again, I think. I have no idea what the rate of burn is in terms of capital on an MMO development project. You could probably pin it down to an average of like, I don't know, a couple of $100,000 a month or something.
I think that you can't really say an average. Some games manage to spend dramatically more.
I think, obviously, if you hire far too many staff and have far too many hangers-on, I think that's probably a good way to burn through your money, a good mistake to make. I think an IP, having to pay a huge amount for a license, I think that's probably a good way to waste a lot of money as well.
Yeah.
Yes, why make... say, for example, a Mass Effect online when you could make a Star Wars game online instead? That kind of thing. Yeah. So what does he really mean? What would you build with 100 million? I think I probably would take a leaf from Double Fine's, what they're doing these days.
I'd make a bunch of smaller MMOs.
I'd make about 50 different games that were all very cheap.
One team do the tech and the others just make loads of games.
Yeah, exactly.
Using
take that 100 million and make 10 games. One of them's bound to be a cult hit. And then just write the rest of it off. But if you can make 100 million back from a game you spent 1 million on... That's 100-to-1 shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to have a proper go at this kind of question without knowing, you know, seeing an itemised tally and knowing exactly how much this stuff all costs, which you don't really know if you've made one or if you're in the industry, which we're not. But I do just get a sort of gut feeling that games just cost far too much.
I get that too.
To make. I mean, you can't possibly spend 100 million making, what, GTA 4? I don't know. Is that the
rumoured number was 100, but they say it was less.
I've not played GTA 4. Perhaps I should, just so I know what everyone's going on about. Yeah, I'll probably have to give it a borrow. But point being is that what in there takes $100 million to make?
Recreating a large city the size of New York.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose it's just the detail, the time that's spent. I mean,
the problem is, as graphics get more and more detailed, then the amount of time needed to go in and do those graphics goes up dramatically.
Well,
which is why a game like WoW has a certain advantage over a game like, say, Conan.
Do you think they've spent $100 million on WoW development over the years?
I'm not sure
they've made it back.
Over the years, no doubt they've spent over $100 million.
I wonder how much they initially spent to get it ready for launch.
Don't know. Probably quite a lot, because don't forget it was a high-profile company doing it.
There was a great expectation there already, and they were already well-established from their sales of Warcraft and Starcraft, so yeah. Interesting. I just think, I don't know, I'm a bit of a hypocrite, to be honest. I look at 100 million spend on a game and think, oh, that's way too much. You're obviously wasting lots of money there. You should make it for like 10 million or 1 million or like, you know, 20 quid or something. But at the same time, I really quite enjoy a very lavish, high production value story campaign romp.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
What was the one I actually bought? Mass Effect 2?
Yeah.
I don't know how much they spent making Mass Effect.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, or Assassin's Creed. I imagine they probably burnt quite a lot of money on Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, and I enjoyed them immensely. It seemed like I got every penny's worth out of it. But on the other hand, I'm also a hypocrite in that I never cease to sort of shout, you know, about, hey, indie games are really good. Buy these tiny little Xbox things. They're brilliant. You know, this is the future of gaming. They're quirky. They're interesting. They're different. And yet I don't bother much with them myself. I should buy more of them. I should bung a few points on the Xbox Live Arcade or whatever, the Indie Arcade. Just try more stuff there. I mean, mostly my first exposure to a lot of these titles is when we're recording those little videos.
Don't forget, every single one of them is a free trial.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's literally no excuse, I suppose, time. But also, I think as gamers, we get sort of trained in our expectations as to what we should be looking for, you know. We tend to home in on the 100 million titles, and that's why they keep making 100 million titles, is because it works.
And of course, it gets back to what Cliff Bleszinski was saying about there's no middle ground between the AAA and the indie.
You either spend 100 million or you consign yourself to a potential indie obscurity. And either way, you're looking either for a million to one lightning strike cult hit or a very turgid sort of accountancy-based exercise where you're expecting to return at least 17% profit on the investment of 100 million, you know, because you just know it's going to be some stupidly huge success. But not terribly innovative. I don't know. It's difficult. It's a difficult thing.
Mm.
It's difficult to express a preference. I think, yeah, like I said, Tim Schafer's lot, Double Fine, you know, where they, after the disappointing run that was Brutal Legend in terms of book balance sheets and everything, they basically split the studio up into dozens of little teams that are all making much smaller, low-key titles.
They're going down well.
Their
only problem at the moment is they're releasing games too fast, I think.
Yeah.
It seems like every podcast I listen to has Tim Schafer on it.
Yeah.
Pimping the next new game.
So, yes, if I had $100 million to spend, I think I probably would make 100 $1 million games, $1 million titles.
Yeah.
Of very small and low expectations, but which hopefully should make a lot of money in the long term as a large sort of quantity of small things.
Or failing that, spend $50 million and make an engine. And sell that.
That's not a bad alternative.
It works for Epic.
Yeah, Epic in particular. I imagine their core business isn't really Gears of War or whatever. It's actually licensing out the Unreal Engine to everyone else.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you look at Valve, their core business isn't any of their games. It's Steam now.
Well, I mean, I remember playing Half-Life 2 for the first time, and it just so came across as a tech demo that you were working through. Like, here's a car bit. Look, this is a bit where you can pick a container up with a crane and swing it at people. Look, we got a gravity gun. Look at all the cool things our engine can do. And you're sort of thinking, yeah, you're trying to sell this not just to gamers, are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Basically, small games, lots of them.
We sort of complain that it's getting out of hand, but that approach consistently works until it starts to go wrong on a big scale widely.
Well, you are gambling that you are actually at least one of them is going to be good enough to pay for the others.
And
if two of them are good, then they have to pay for the others that aren't included. So, yeah, you still have to have talent and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is where we don't.
Why?
Well, our biggest problem with being given 100 million to make a game is we don't know what we're doing.
We have no idea how to design a game, despite having played so many.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I've been writing my game. I still have no idea.
I haven't started writing mine yet.
You should start.
I downloaded a free Visual Studio Express thing, but I haven't got any further than that yet, to be honest.
This is going to turn into the world's worst feature we never tell the listeners about.
We should never discuss this again. What's next?
Afraid of the Light says, do you plan on doing another joint podcast with the Chiasa twins, like that one ages ago? And they plan on a Meet the Fans get-together sometime. No, we don't like them. They're horrible.
I like the fans.
I refuse to go near, one of them.
They're friends. They're friends we haven't met yet.
I haven't forgiven. On Thursday.
Oh, here we go.
Last Thursday, I had the longest road in Catan.
Oh, it all got very...
Then Zozo went and built a bigger road than me, and I lost. And I'm starting a feud.
So there's a very much a large ongoing Settlers of Catan grudge match thing going on between the Van Hemlock podcast and Killed in a Smiling Accident, yes.
And there's even talk
in April... It's going to end in blood.
...of there's going to be a Catan game with both of us and both of them playing and other people. It's going to be...
Championship
It's going to be
match.
Epic.
Yes.
Am I off topic?
I think, to answer the question, yes, I think we'll probably want to plan to do that. Typically, it's a barbecue kind of thing where my co-host here remembers to bring the little
portable recorder. The problem is, it's always audio quality.
The audio quality is tricky when we're not in our lair, as it were. But if you folks don't mind hearing how they sound, then, you know, a bit more of a rough and ready out there thing, then we'll give it a go, I think.
Maybe lapel mics.
I don't know. I'll leave that stuff to him.
Okay, next. Rage Man says, do you ever take part in endgame raiding in LOTRO, for example? Why not? Not sure doing dungeons to get coins, get the armor of the Radiance into the dungeon counts.
Ow.
I count my first Balrog fight. Fight's not even a kill. First Dragon Watcher kills amongst the highlights of my gaming enjoyment. How scary my first Rift run was. How good it felt to be able to hit the right monsters and get them down quicker as a group. Working with a group of 12 plus people on a voice server shouting, working for it, and then... the relief, pleasure, joy of the kill, wonderful.
By Rift there, he means the Rift of what?
Yeah, not Rift, because Rift was actually out on October the 19th in that comment.
I generally don't, but then I do. It's curious. It depends. Like you say, it all comes down to definition. I would class what we do pretty much every Friday, with varying success in LOTRO, as raiding. There are...
apart from it not being raiding.
Well, it's a skirmish, but we got 11, 12 people in there, and they really do ramp the boss difficulty up in there, and it's a cause of quite a lot of wipe frustration. We get the drama, we get the recrimination, we get the self-loathing, all of that stuff, which I've come to associate with accounts of raiding. I've never really stick around with many MMOs at that post-end game phase. That's the thing. I mean, to me, the levels are pretty much my time there. I'll, you know, chip away at the levels. If I don't get bored of the game entirely before then, I'll get to max level. I mean, particularly I'm thinking World of Warcraft, back pre-Burning Crusade we're talking here. And I got to max level, and I started getting the random whispers out of nowhere requiring a tank to come and join groups, and I generally tried one or two, didn't do get on very well, and I never really had the guild or social contacts to get involved in all that sort of stuff. And I go to a lot of blogs and a lot of websites, you know, and people talk about their raiding experiences, and on the whole I just find myself horrified basically by
some of them. Really don't sound like they're enjoying it.
Well, enjoyment takes like a third or fifth back seat by the way most people write about these experiences. I don't want to name names at all. I mean,
I do, but I'm not going to.
I don't know. I just have perhaps entirely different expectations of what playing an MMO is about. I don't know. I'm very out of touch with what goes on at the end game in most MMOs. And typically, I mean, I've been doing a lot of static group stuff. We have a lot of little guilds on the go at the moment in various nights of the week in various games. And almost uniformly, they are all about just chatting on Mumble, having a bit of a social time. I mean, you know, the small, friendly, casual, social guild is a bit of a cliche, but I think that's pretty much almost exclusively what I'm involved in my online gaming these days. I'm not there to particularly deal with the big end game, you know, defeat the hardest thing the game has to offer. I'm mostly there just to hang out with some mates, and almost the world that I'm doing it in doesn't often matter, to be honest. What about yourself? You're a raider?
I can't stand the end game in games. I find it's repetitive, boring, and I move on.
Well, it's about a very specific puzzle, I suppose, that you're trying to fix. I mean, a lot of people require people to go and look at strategy guides or look at videos. So it's not so much about working out what will work and how it works. It's more about just performing the same actions as you saw these other people do correctly, I suppose.
I think what it comes down to is I'm not the sort of person that chases a high score.
Yeah, you've got to be pretty. I guess a lot of people raid because they just want to be able to say they've done it. I mean, I don't imagine the loot is absolutely the be all and end all, but I suppose it's quite a high priority thing and a reason why people will be doing this self improvement through shinies that can only be obtained by 12 or more people working together.
Yeah, it's that status, you know, like you. On the phones at the moment, the big thing is trying to beat people's high scores, or in Charles HD, trying to beat people's times and whatnot. And
competitive.
And in the last Need for Speed, it had the autolog thing, which says, so-and-so's beat your time. And my opinion to that is, oh, okay.
It's interesting, can't be off to just do it again.
And
it's interesting he discounts what we did actually do, which is, yeah, not sure doing dungeons to get coins, to get the armour, to get the radiance, to get the dungeon counts. That's basically what we were doing. That's about the nearest we've come to raiding in LOTRO back in our day and the first pass through. Is we did the Grand Stair an awful lot to get little tokens to get better armour. And we did. I mean, I managed to get the full set in the end and... great. Yeah. You know, you look at it and think, well, okay, yeah, so it's a bit better than the stuff I was wearing, and now I've got accessibility to further raid content, which we still need another 6 people to be able to find and do. I think fundamentally what the problem for raiding with me is that no MMO has managed to put on offer something I want that badly.
Yes.
I've just never found myself motivated enough to put up with the admittedly, you know, the anecdotally very many hardships and problems that come with raiding. There are lots of problems with raiding. Even, you know, committed raiders will say that, you know, that there are things about the whole thing they don't like, but they persevere because there is something being offered to them that they want. And I've never really seen anything that a game can potentially offer me that makes me want to put up with the nightmarish accountings I read on webs and blogs and whatever.
Mm.
It's just I can't find myself buying into it. So I guess I'm never really going to be a raider.
I'd be a raider if they gave me something I wanted to work towards, but it's like in Call of Duty, you've got your prestige levels where you get to the top level, then you start again and go round and round.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're 10th prestige, that's a big, funny enough, prestigious thing.
Yeah.
And I just can't be asked.
Well, there's not much of an analogue for raiding in consoles, is there, at the moment?
No, not really. Not
sort of like, you know, 12 or 24 player cooperative challenges. I wonder why that is. I mean, it's certainly not because
everyone's an idiot who can't work together.
Well, I wonder. I mean, it's not because it just hasn't occurred to the writers of console games, because we see all sorts of traditional MMO concepts working their way into even, you know, contemporary military shooters, XP bars, class specializations, this sort of stuff. But for some reason, no one's taken on board the whole raiding concept and tried to apply it as a console idea. So, I mean, perhaps that's still to come, but maybe there's something about raiding that just doesn't really appeal. I don't know. I can only speak for my own likes and dislikes, really.
Mm. Yeah, I think give us a good goal, then we'll do it. But at the moment, it's just seems to be for the sake of it. But then if you start pulling on that thread and the entire playing of games collapses.
Often the reward for raiding will be a piece of armour that makes raiding easier.
Yeah, that makes me suspicious.
The whole radiance thing, what the hell was that about?
But then again, the whole levelling is just, the reward for levelling is something that makes levelling easier.
I know.
Yeah,
you don't want to go too far down that road at all.
No. Yeah, okay, should we move to the next question then?
Okay.
This is from Jeff Ross, saying, imagine the film Gamer was real.
Right, now there's going to be one major problem with my answer.
Two major problems to this.
Okay.
My experience of Gamer is...
I'm going to have to go to Wikipedia very quickly.
I wrote a couple of the articles on Massively saying that it was coming out, and I hit record on it on my Skybox a couple of months ago, thinking I should really watch this at some time.
So there was a time when you were Massively's movie correspondent. You were like the Mark Kermode of Massively, were you?
No, I just
he's got a similar haircut, by the way, everyone.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I just happened to get that story before anyone else did.
Fair enough. So what is Gamer about? We might have to skip this one because I don't really know. It's something to do with you controlling other people who think they're in a virtual world or something like that. And a psychological...
This question's going nowhere.
Sorry, we're going to have to skip.
Now a few questions, he says. Would you play the games? No, I don't know what they are.
Not without reading an instruction or book.
Would you consider being an avatar? No, because I assume they get killed.
I'd give it a go.
Oh, no, I would play the games because I would like to see people suffer on my behalf.
Okay, I think I'd give being an avatar a go. I think the idea of altering my physical appearance by sliders is something I'd like to do in real life.
I don't get to do that in a film. I doubt you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't look like that butler guy.
All right.
Do you think it would be free to play or a sub model?
Oh, everything's going free to play.
Yeah.
So,
no, I reckon it would go sub.
Yeah.
I reckon definitely it would go sub.
Okay.
Want to be exclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think it would be a WoW killer?
Yes.
It'd be a WoW player killer.
No, nothing's a WoW killer. Yes. Sorry, weren't much more help there, but no, at least I know what I've got to borrow from the video shop next time I go.
I might just add it to my love film thing. Right. Nerelius says, would you rather have eyes that can only look up or a right hand you can only use while yelling? I would go for the eyes, because I can sort that with a hat and a mirror.
Oh, I just love the idea of yelling constantly, like Brian Blessed, whenever I try and, you know, open doors or open tin cans or something. Just constant yelling! No, I definitely want the yelling hand.
Okay. Right, Mr. Chu, you guys are always talking about the death of PC gaming, TM. Actually, we haven't been recently, but this is from December.
Yeah.
I recently read a series of articles in the German PC gaming magazine, biased to be sure, but who isn't, spelling out all the reasons why PCs are still and will continue to be relevant for gaming. I'm sure you're familiar with the arguments, but one of particular interest to me. It was a proposition that, for various reasons, gaming PCs have a much higher market penetration than consoles in developing markets, such as Asia, India, China, but excluding Japan, Russia and South America, and that this situation will continue. My question... When you say that PC gaming is dead, are you referring specifically to the West and Japan? If not, do you think that the need to refine your argument in light of the situation in other markets? Or do you disagree that the proposition, with the proposition that consoles will not make significant inroads in those markets versus the PC? But a further thought, if Western games developers have practically written off the PC platform, but gaming PCs are still popular elsewhere in the world, will we see a surge of games developed in and for those markets? Or indeed, do those games already exist, but we in the West are blissfully ignorant of their existence because... they are not being sold here. The example I'll give here,
multi-parted question here,
is Russia.
Yes, okay.
Russia has a very, very strong PC games market at the moment, with strong developers, lots of people making games there.
World of Tanks
being incredibly popular there. Metro 33 was developed in Russia, I believe. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's definitely true that in the non-console penetrated markets, the PCs are very strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something I want... Yeah, I mean, my question, when you say that PC gaming is dead, are you referring specifically to the West and Japan? And this is something that I think I am probably extremely guilty of, is that I tend to view the gaming market to be basically the USA, Europe, and Japan. Yeah, I mean, and I often wonder, you know, are people even playing games in the rest of the world? South America, Brazil, Argentina, you know, Russia?
Yeah, everyone's playing games.
India, yeah, I mean... Yeah, in the Indian continent, I mean, subcontinent there. I mean, there's just a vast number of people, and it's a very technically advanced place, you know. This is where all the call centre work's going these days. And
it's coming back now, we've managed to be cheaper than anywhere else.
Well, the point being is that it's a society in which absolutely PC gaming must be happening on a very large scale, but you hear almost nothing about it. You see no numbers, no news reports.
Well, nobody reports about it. And if you look at the Asian markets, when somebody like Massively reports on an Asian MMO, it gets completely jumped on by everyone saying, we don't care about this.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know. Is that a kind of inadvertent bigotry there? A kind of very sort of provincial, we only like games with... beefcake Space Marines.
We only like the games we like, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are we all a lot more provincial in our gaming than we think we are? We think we're all very cosmopolitan because we've heard of an American game and we've heard of a Japanese game.
We think we're cosmopolitan because, you know, we all know everything about Japanese gaming. Well, you don't.
No, I don't. I quite admit I'm quite parochial in it all. Really.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone lauds some of the great games from Japan, but then you look at, you know, what are the great games from Russia?
Yeah.
Okay, Tetris came from Russia. That is pretty much a great game from Russia.
Most people's sole knowledge of Russian gaming history, yeah.
And there are plenty of games out there which we just never hear about because they're never translated, never marketed. And yeah,
I don't know even where to go to find out about Indian gaming news or South American gaming culture or whatever.
We don't have an awful lot of listeners in India.
We don't get stories about it much.
I do keep an eye on the IP addresses of where people are, which countries people are listening on, and not a lot of people from India.
Not a lot of Indian.
Then again, we only have, say, I think it's something like 3 people in Japan that I know of.
Fair enough.
So
we can't help but be informed by the environment in which we grow up and the games that are presented to us in our own regional markets. No one's trying to sell us games that were written in India. They're all trying to sell us games that were written in America or Japan, usually, or Europe.
It'd be very interesting to see actually.
I think there are perhaps subtle divisions in the gaming world that perhaps many of us aren't aware of. We tend to just view things in terms of, yeah, the big three regions, and to hell with what everyone else is doing.
But in any case, just because PCs are so available, they will always be the biggest gaming platform.
Yeah, PC gaming, I mean, yeah, back then in October 2010, we probably were shouting PC gaming was dead a lot.
Yeah, but always with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, it's a running joke of a sort, yeah. I suppose.
Because you just have to look at the numbers of people playing Facebook games to know that it completely swaps everything else.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for many people, a device which is purely designed to play games is a bit of an extravagance, whereas you can, yeah, a PC can do other stuff as well, spreadsheets, the family, accounts, whatever, internet work, anything like that. A PC is an inherently more versatile platform, so if you've only got a limited amount of money to spend, you're going to get a PC, not just, you know, waste that money. Yeah, I know PCs are more expensive than consoles and so on, but you're more likely to find a generic use for a PC than for a console.
So yeah, definitely.
I think many people will go down the PC route.
And I think
also,
that's where Steam
will do business with the cycles that we're talking about a lot in recent shows, where 10 years is too long to wait for better consoles, whereas the PC is continually all the time coming out with new models. Like every other week, there's a new graphics card or some new chips or whatever. So as an aggregate platform, a PC is continually evolving and doesn't have to wait in like plateaus like the mainstream consoles do. So the PC will pull ahead of the consoles, which is something you're always pointing out.
Yeah.
And the PC is being held back by consoles at the moment, because if you took a top-of-the-line PC and compared it to a top-of-the-line Xbox, the PC is currently in a better position.
Well, Epic just showed off the new capabilities that they think is going to be available in Unreal Engine in the next couple of years, and they did it by a couple of beefy PCs working together.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of graphics cards working together, and
which is something a 360 won't be able to do.
Yeah, 360 will never be able to do that. 720 may, yeah. But yeah,
you've got to wait until Microsoft are ready before they do that.
And with the 10-year cycle, I think it's guaranteed that PC gaming is going to, at some stage, be back on top of the cycle.
I get a bit down on PC gaming because I'm fed up with having to fork out £500
that
for
is a
PC
problem
every,
to solve
every couple of years.
That is a problem to solve, and I've think that we need to be looking at Valve to be solving that problem.
Yeah, some sort of PC console or perhaps OnLive might be a solution to that sort of thing. I don't know.
Imagine you've got a redesigned computer where you've basically got slot-in bits where you could add a new hard drive like you can now on the console.
I'd like to see a lot more...
But you could take out the graphics card and put a better graphics card
well, that's,
in.
Yeah,
or change
cards,
the processor.
Graphics cards are more or less modular nowadays, but it's the processor and the motherboard architecture. You get to that upgrade point in a PC's life where you just got to throw the whole thing out and start fresh because you can't fit a new CPU in what you've got there. That's the bit that annoys me. Backward compatibility would
help. I think that some a nice redesigning of the way PCs are, technically it's feasible.
But
it's just very expensive to do. I think that's
getting everyone to agree on what a PC should be.
Is it just
up to Intel and Dell?
Yeah,
whatever
they say. Intel just need to do it. Intel, AMD, and Nvidia, and you've got it basically.
But I think a lot of people also the whole piracy angle is a problem for PC gaming, and that's one reason developers don't tend to like PC as a particular platform when they could just go do it on a console and theoretically not have all the piracy problems. But then, as we've seen with this latest round of PS3 hijinks, consoles aren't immune to it either.
Yeah, and of course there's also the sales, where the sales always look way lower than they are because no one's reporting the sales accurately.
We need proper reporting of digital sales before I'll stop going, the PC's dead. I think it's not that the PC gaming is dead, it's that the PC gaming is gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
We don't know where.
It's evolved to a new level of consciousness.
To the caveman it looks dead, but it's actually something greater than you can possibly imagine. Yes.
You're saying that effectively it's magic?
It is magic now. It is indistinguishable from technology for me. Yes.
Okay.
PC gaming is sorcery.
Yes. Okay.
Hope that helps.
If you can't end on a Arthur C. Clarke idea, then.
Hey.
Right. The next one. This one was actually from last week.
Ah, here we go. Back into present day. Yeah.
If you could build your own Frankenstein MMO game, what ideas, technologies, or systems would you copy from existing games to make your ideal game? I.e., character creation from APB with the Dungeon Finder from WoW and Soul Trees from Rift in the game engine used by Age of Conan.
This is a good one.
With the recent surge of interest in the EQ progression server, are there any MMOs up there which should create their own progression servers. So actually, we'll get do the first question.
All right,
first.
Let's do the first one first. Then this is a good one. You can just pick and choose. I mean, my nifty feature from previous blog. I should probably start doing some more of that at some point.
Yeah,
pointing out interesting features I've liked. I mean,
I'll bring them back as video.
Okay, then let's have a look. Then let's have the economy from Eve and or Pirates of the Burning Sea, yeah. Depending on what your basic game's
100%
about.
100% player-driven economy. Very
Galaxies.
Good.
Star Wars Galaxies didn't have NPC
yes.
goods.
Yeah, players build everything. It keeps the crafters happy and keeps the players happy-ish.
So already we're tending toward quite a sandboxy kind of game.
It's going to have to be sandboxy. Mm. You get your most longevity out of a sandbox game, I believe.
I'd like the player housing from Star Wars Galaxies. I think that's probably the best I've ever seen, even to this date.
Yes, definitely. The decorating.
Real physical buildings being placed in the real game world. And the way they got away with doing that is they made the game world so absolutely enormous that there would always be room.
Yeah.
And it worked.
I want towns. I want actual having... I'd be able to make player towns.
They tried that and it didn't quite pan out for you, did it?
No, but that could be fixed with one feature.
Yeah.
Make
the shuttle port the first thing you get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
the skill from Galaxies, maybe?
I
like the idea of the way the skills work in
Galaxies.
This is
the class system versus the skill system, isn't it? Which is an eternal debate.
Definitely a skill system, not a class system.
You don't like classes? I want the Trinity dead and buried. I'm fed up with it after the whole hijinks we've had in Lord of the Rings Online lately, where everyone's the wrong class and we're all groping in the dark.
I want the Paradigm system from the last Final Fantasy game.
I'd like Rhizom's skill system, actually. In Rhizom, you work your way up a tree to the top, learning, improve by doing skills, earning XP. And then you go right back down to the tree where you made the first branch and go down the other branch. And effectively, every character can learn everything. It's just a question of which you want to learn first.
Yeah.
And that's sort of similar
that's great.
To Eve.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
I like that.
Oblivion idea, where just, everyone can be a badass.
To stop it being too powerful, though, you can have it, you switch between the three, and you could only have one of them going at once.
Maybe.
But you can level up any class you want any time.
The XP you gain depends on how you killed the monster or what you did with the tools, crafting, and so on. So, yeah, you choose on a fight-by-fight basis which bit you want to level up.
Yeah, you may have to restrict what you can use at the same time.
Yeah, details.
Or saying that the Paradigm system
from
Final Fantasy would be good, where you can, at the start of a fight, switch to be a different type of...
Declare that you're going to be a tank for this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have tank and healer as buffs that you choose before you go into the dungeon. Everyone is a DPS, and some of them can also enhance with the tank skills and the healing skills.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get rid of this stupid trinity. All right, what's the best-looking MMO you've played?
Might well be Conan.
I think I might have to go with Conan, actually. For all its other problems, it did look gorgeous.
Although that is falling into the trap of the best looking meaning the most real, when in fact the best looking is a different idea than that. Because something like Rift looks very good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I would prefer realistic looking.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got economy. What sort of combat have you enjoyed in the best in an MMO?
Have I ever?
There must have been some. I like Tabula Rasa. Let's have a go at first-person, third RPG shooter-y stuff again.
Yeah, let's go. I want the combat from Mass Effect 2.
Fair enough. Not strictly an MMO, but I'll let you have it.
No, it'll do. Well, they didn't say it had to come from an MMO.
Nah.
What ideas, technologies, or systems would you copy from existing games? Haha. See,
he's mentioning character creation from APB. It was all right. That works with the setting, obviously.
Yeah, I
for a more
I just,
fantasy thing.
You just have to have a really extensive character creator. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It has to have lots and lots of options.
As long as you've got options, customization,
lots of clothes.
Yeah.
And unlockable clothes in-game.
Yeah, yeah. Something Pirates of the Burning Sea does. I mean, the most prized items you can get from mission rewards and career progression are new coats, new hats.
And I want more games with furniture rewards for the lovely houses we'll have.
Yeah, yeah. He's talking about Dungeon Finder from WoW. I
don't care
about that. Know about that one. I mean, technologically, it's a very clever thing, but I worry what it's done socially to people and to the game.
But one, we've got rid of the Trinity.
We got rid of the Trinity,
so it shouldn't matter.
Pickup groups shouldn't be hell anymore. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fair enough. Soul Trees from Rift. That's a sort of variation on your Final Fantasy thing, isn't it? You're sort of leveling
sort
up several
classes. Well, no, it's the just ability to really refine your character down to something quite nice.
Mm. We could go all night with this one, so we'll probably round that particular point up there.
I was hoping to get another 20 minutes out of it, but there you go.
Have we got lots more to answer? We've got to go on to Twitter, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's got their own ideas on this one, though. I'd love to see what you, dear listener, would like to make your Frankenstein MMO.
Yes.
That would be good. I'll start a little thread for that.
Yeah.
So the progression server thing. What MMOs would like to have a progression server?
Eve
progression server. My God, can you remember what Eve was like on day one?
Yes, it was hellish.
It was rubbish. There was nothing. You just went out into space and there was like an asteroid and a Garista pirate in a condor. And
I tell you, damage-resistant mods will be very expensive on day one, though.
this is pre-stacking penalty. There was some crazy stuff going on back then. I don't know about that. Now, that's more along the sort of Ultima Online Tramble Felucca thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bad thing that was fixed that you're not having back again.
I actually have a sensible answer to this.
Go on then.
Galaxies.
You want a pre-NGE Galaxies. Yeah. You and everyone else listening, I'm sure. Yeah, I'll go with that as well.
I also a...
Tabula Rasa.
Tabula Rasa one.
Revert it back to when it was running.
You can have that one for free, Matt.
Hey, there we go. One per show.
Yeah. How was nice to him?
progression server, I mean, it depends. The game itself has to have undergone massive changes, and generally progression means we're not happy with how it's gone.
I'm not sure you'd ever want one for WoW.
Well, exactly. What uncataclysm at all.
Yeah, you're either not happy the way it's gone, or you are misty-eyed about the way it was.
I suppose it works in EverQuest's case, because they are actually 12 now. It's the 12th anniversary of the last week or two. And I think it works in that case because it's just changed so much that this isn't really anything about being angry at design decisions anymore. This is good old-fashioned historic nostalgia after a certain point. I think probably just, I want the Ultima Online Felucca Trammel split reversed, just so that a new generation of people can see why that's such a bad idea.
And a whole new generation can see why it was such a brilliant idea to not have it.
Start that old debate rolling again. And cake or pie?
I would go for pie.
So would I.
I'm not a massive cake fan.
I do like short crust pastry, though.
Yeah, but cake...
Apart from the stuff I made, which was not short crust pastry at all, by any stretch of the imagination.
What were you trying to make?
I no idea.
Mr. Chu asked, what with smartphones and tablet PCs are dedicated handheld gaming platforms like the DS and PSP and evolutionary cul-de-sac?
This is probably one for your good self there.
Yes, they are.
You think they are?
Purely down to the fact that they're not with you wherever you go. My phone is with me wherever I go, therefore is my gaming platform a choice when I'm not next to a console.
I know nothing about it, but I know that if you've got to bring only one device with you wherever you go, it's going to be the phone, isn't it? So let's make phones that can run games, and then the DS and the PSP don't need to exist anymore.
Even the iPad. The iPad is better than the DS and the PSP because it does other things.
Mm-hmm. Multifunction devices. It's not just about games, no.
Next, do you like Pokemon? Which Pokemon do you most closely resemble? Do you like Pokemon?
I don't like Pokemon. I distrust it and fear it. And I resemble the one that looks like me.
Wow. I do like Pokemon.
I don't know. The Pikachu thing with the yellow ears.
You only know one Pokemon.
I only know one Pokemon, but that one is probably the one I resemble the most.
I like Pokemon, and I don't compare myself to Pokemon because I really find cosplaying slightly disturbing.
Not as disturbing as I found it.
Yeah. And finally, what can be done to save the great British institution, the pub?
Oh, God.
Came up with this idea on another blog.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask lots of pubs whether or not they will broadcast our show with a live broadcast of it.
Save. Not shut down entirely.
Oh, okay.
God. To be honest, remove the indoor smoking ban, to be honest. That seems to have done for them the most in recent years. Caused a lot of pubs to shut down that.
I'm not entirely sure that was the reason.
Well.
I don't think smokers were that cynical.
Yeah, less people go into the... Well, I don't know. I don't know what can be done to save the pub. I'm not really much of a drinker, to be honest.
No, you're not. Conveniently.
Nah. Shall we move on to the Twitter?
Okay, let's move on to the Twitter one, which...
Twitter folks asked.
Where we asked the same thing.
Yeah, asked the same thing. The Twitter question is the topic.
Yeah. Ackley, how comes Turbine do free-to-play so well when others like Sony not so well? Apart from the games, where do they do SOE strategy botch it up? The key to where SOE go wrong is Sony always do things half-assed.
It's just a general point.
Yeah.
I think he's specifically talking about the implementations of LOTRO and EQ2, which both sort of went free to play very similar times. Well, Turbine, of course, had already practiced the whole shuffle with DDO, so they had some inkling of how best to go about it. I wonder about LOTRO, though. I wonder if they divided it up well enough. I mean, DDO, obviously, it's about modules. It's about individual blocks of content you buy. So is D&D.
Hard when you haven't designed it in from the word go.
Yeah. The Sony route, they don't do quest packs.
I know exactly where Sony went wrong.
Yeah,
they didn't go in all out. They didn't say, right, we're 100% committed. They said, we're going to do it for these people, but not you people. And
well, they wanted to have their cake and eat it, in that they didn't want to alienate their existing subscribers, but at the same time, hey, everyone's going free to play, we better do something too. So they got two different sets of servers.
And because Sony didn't try and just admit that they were going to do it for everything at the same time, I reckon that really hamstrung them about what they could do.
I mean, they haven't done much in the way of quest packs like you get with DDO and LOTRO. They tend to go with lots of shop stuff, lots of cosmetic-y things. I mean, the whole vampire pack... They added a new player race, vampires of some sort, and if you bought all of the different bits and pieces that went to make up the whole thing, I think it cost $85 or something like that per account, possibly even per character, I don't know. But so, you know, not terribly free to play. I mean, I wonder about the pricings of it all. I haven't really bought much of anything from anyone, really.
You're such a cheapskate.
I'm a bad consumer, but I get the impression that the Sony stuff's a bit more on the expensive side. I don't know. And yeah, it's difficult to divorce. I mean, yeah, he says apart from the games, I think it's difficult to divorce the fact that there's just something about EQ2 that doesn't capture the same sparkle that LOTRO does. You know, this is not talking billing at all. This is just in terms of numbers.
It's the problem EQ2 had in the day, because it didn't quite capture that thing that the game that released at the same time of it, World of Warcraft did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's slightly clinical.
Free-to-play only works if your potential customers give a damn about the world that they're playing in. That's when, you know, you've got to be invested to want to go and do stuff with the cash shop. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just something about EQ2 itself, which just opens a whole big can of worms of discussion, which is probably saved for another time, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But, it's like they've imitated, but not quite well enough, and missed something fundamental behind it all. The Turbine do seem to have managed to get right. Mind you, Turbine make mistakes too. There's some real laughable items in their cash shop. Laughably expensive ones.
Like?
The painted horse. I mean, some of the horses are, you know, why would you spend, you know, all that much money on? I think there was a...
People buy them.
The Skellington horse that sells for exactly about the same kind of price as an entire adventure pack full of quest content.
Must buy that.
Well, these things are very subjective, obviously, but, you know, on average, more people seem to buy into to what Turbine do than EQ2. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tricky thing. And a very experimental thing as well. We're in an age where people are feeling their way and trying to work out what works.
We are indeed. Joe Hart asks, any advice for people trying to get their vlog of podcast seen more? Any stories about your guys' rise to podcasting glory?
Is he taking the mic?
No, at this point I feel that we should plug... His vlog on
ask us to plug your blog, I suppose. Yeah, that's what
that works. Yes, that does work.
Don't have any idea how to get people to watch.
If we knew how to get people to listen, we'd have more listeners.
Indeed,
we've sort of stumbled into it.
I suppose stick to what you do. Do it for yourself and not for the hits.
If you're not a game specific show, you're going to get a fraction of the numbers that the game specific shows get, but they will burn out.
the benefits of not being a game specific podcast is that you don't get bored of the one game you're reporting on every week.
Always make sure you've got full control over your podcast feed.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yep. If you're a video show, having it on YouTube really does help.
iTunes helps,
although I'm not entirely sure how much. And always, just You need to identify
enjoy
where
it.
Yeah, you need to enjoy it and you need to identify where your audience
is. If it's not fun anymore, don't do it. It can be quite... I know there have been times over the last couple of years when I've felt a bit grindy, and that probably has come across to you, dear listener, listening. But on the whole, you know, I like doing this, and that's why I keep doing it.
So if any of our listeners know how to make us more popular, we will pass it on to Joe.
If anyone wants to answer Joe's question, we'd be quite interested in the results too.
And in the meantime, go to YouTube to search on Jovial Gamer and watch his videos.
There you go.
And also put out more videos.
Lots of plugging.
Mega Super Mungo says, you won the 68 million jackpot on Friday and decided to blow the pounds on your own AAA title. What is it? For your fun, not profit.
We just answered this one, but we've only got 68 million this time, so what do we cut from our big 100
million? And it doesn't have to be an MMO.
We can be anything. I think probably an RTS, because they're so popular. People love RTSs.
Elite Four,
yeah, Populous Four, whatever. I'd just give it all to Molyneux so he can turn his crazy 256 player Populous game into a marketable product. That would be awesome. Although you'd probably only get control of one square each.
It'd be a PvP nightmare.
It'd be quite brutal very quickly, and then there'd be three players left.
Phoenix Defire, because we've lost Jump Gate's evolution, could you cheap seat Battlestar Galactica or Black Prophecy? I think they're both in beta. I actually played a bit of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. And do you want to do a mini review now then?
No, I wasn't that impressed. But I didn't play enough to actually get a good idea, and I think that's a good idea.
Have a look at Ding World, Sente's blog there. He's talking about Black Prophecy a bit. I think he's either on the beta or early open beta or something. There's a lot of screenshots there. He's got some impressions. That's quite good. Search for that on Google, Ding World. The blog.
Yep. But yeah, we will need
cheap
to play
seats
this game.
Is about free trials really, rather than betas, and I have this stupid 3-month rule.
Okay, that's not going to work,
but I'm sure my co-host will go.
I need to go and have a look at Black Prophecy.
But I'm quite interested in looking at both of those. Have a look at Galactica.
Ogma Air, talk about the wish list about the Doctor Who MMO, both realistic and unrealistic. I actually learned something about that this week.
Yeah,
Doctor
Who MMO, yeah. First of all, is it by the same people who are doing the downloadable adventures? Good, because they're not very good.
They're aimed at kids. Well, this is going to be aimed at kids.
No. The games aren't very good. They could flow better technologically. You know, I'm not talking about plots or it's a Doctor Who game. Of course they're for kids. That's why I love them. But, you know, in terms of technical game and design and so on, it could have been a lot better. I played about three of them. I didn't bother the last couple. So Doctor Who MMO...
Time travel.
Time travel's going to be important. I'd like to see zones that you can visit in multiple time periods, and I'd like to see things that you do in the past change things about the future. Well, obviously, time travel, the core concept's there, isn't it? It's the wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey and all of that, changing events in the past and seeing temporal consequences, although usually they don't give a damn about that kind of thing on the show, do they? They just... charge around medieval London with laser screwdrivers.
As far as I can tell,
nothing goes wrong.
The Doctor gets through on confidence alone.
What does an average episode of Doctor Who entail? It's usually we turn up, we find a problem, we get captured by a monster or two, we unravel the dark secret behind what's going on, then a spanner is thrown in the works and hooray, home for tea and medals.
Yeah.
So that needs to be accurately reflected in quest content, in story modes and so on. I'd like to see a lot of instant storytelling. I mean, yeah, some people don't like instancing in MMOs, but I think it's probably going to be the best way to get this kind of stuff done properly in an MMO. You're going to have to go away in smaller groups and experience stuff that other people can't also come and join you on, you know, because it just won't make sense, because you'll be all there and watching different time periods of the same stuff.
Also, the PvP.
PvP.
PvP should be Daleks versus Cybermen.
How is PvP even going to work in a Doctor Who?
You know, Daleks versus Cybermen, all you need.
Yeah, I suppose.
Warthorn London.
What, monster play?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. I get a bit Dalek. Sign me up. That'd be brilliant.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we like monster play, but no PvP between the Doctor and his, 7,000 or 8,000 companions per server.
No.
Is the Doctor going to be playable?
No, you're just random Time Lords.
Are you going to be Time Lords? Are you going to be human helpers who are going along with Time Lords?
No, you're just Time Lords, and you get to choose whether or not you're a good Time Lord or a bad Time Lord.
Ah, a sort of big Time Lord Civil War thing. Oh,
yeah.
God. No, because that's then PvP between Time Lords.
That's fine.
Mm.
But they're not allowed to kill each other, except the bad ones are allowed to kill the good guys.
Character creation regeneration that you came up with. That's brilliant.
When you die, you have to recreate your character.
Yeah, you get me back to the character recreation. That'd be brilliant. Yeah. I don't know. It's just so hard to imagine what it could even be. I mean, you know, knowing everything we know about games which are predominantly rather like World of Warcraft and bringing the Doctor Who franchise to it, I mean, God, what travesties could happen?
More seriously, the game's going to suck because it's a terrible IP to turn into an MMO.
Yeah. It's essentially about storytelling. Which
every part of it doesn't work.
So train wreck, really, is what we're thinking. Well, wait and see, I suppose. I think a good, healthy three-month rule on that one, though.
Yeah. If it's around the 3 months
there. All right, what else we got next?
Dr. Torag, what IP so far unplanned or unused for MMOs would you like to see?
Well, not Doctor Who, as we've just discussed. I don't know. I'd like to see an Outcasts MMO. I think that'd be amazing. Oh,
that would be so amazingly crap.
It would be really... Just how badly could you get
colonization? Just like in an MMO, the plot would go nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. It is basically playing out like an MMO as it is. There's a whole bunch of people all just milling about, doing their own thing, not really working together very well. Falling out through simple communication problems.
Yeah. Well, during the week...
just wandering around a generic bit of scrubland every
during
other
During the week, I worked out what the plot is. They actually were on the B-Arc.
Yeah.
They're all the rubbish people being sent away from Earth.
Oh, the Earth's about to blow up. All of you people, go on this spaceship. We'll be along afterwards, shortly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. So Outcasts, that's a good one. I don't know.
Not Elite.
I'm not really a big fan of IP-based MMOs, to be honest. You know, because it lends itself to too much disappointment. I mean, I'm just thinking of Star Wars Galaxies. People all rolled up to there thinking, great, I can be Luke Skywalker and wave a lightning sword about and kill people who have got big face masks and breathing difficulties. And what actually turned out to be was a sort of crazy game-based social experiment in town management, in resource acquisition and crafting and interior decorating, which disappointed an awful lot of people and was probably the main reason for the combat upgrade. I mean, they changed the character creation screens from, you know, you want to be one of these things to, do you like Luke Skywalker or Han Solo? You know, so right from the word go.
Am I hot or not for characters?
Well, it's sort of from very early on, it sort of missed the idea that if you're going to a Star Wars game, you want to be a Jedi. I mean, the whole business with how you became a Jedi became a notorious problem for the game. All because the IP carried such a huge amount of expectation that the MMO was never really going to satisfy. You'd be better off playing Jedi Knight or KOTOR or something. That was the big running joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How do I become a Jedi on the forums? You go and buy KOTOR. Go and play that. Yeah. Knights of the Old Republic. So, IPs, I don't know. Have we had good IP MMOs? Does it work?
Not really.
I don't know.
Well, Lotro.
Yeah, I think they've done all right there, actually.
Lotro was sort of the one that
uncharacteristically
could
work. Yeah.
Because, you know, all of those fantasy tropes came from it.
Wheel of Time MMO. There's a Wheel of Time game coming, isn't there?
Is there?
It's being worked on by, is it not Bethesda? I don't know.
It'll be overly long. Outstay its welcome and be rubbish from the start.
I don't know if it's an MMO as such, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, next, Dr. Ferag again. I like Minecraft, the Genesis Slim. Sim. playing Adam in Eden. Are there any other accidentally biblical games out there?
Accidentally biblical? I don't know, really, isn't it? Pretty much any colonisation of a distant alien world tends to become a recreation of Genesis.
I would say that Minecraft isn't really Adam, it's God.
I think it's a sort of reactionary humanist piece. There is no God. You have to make the world
in
whatever you decide it to be. Yes. So I'm not sure deep religious significance is something we tend to
He's not an atheist.
In our games.
Mm. Anyway, moving on. Sentak, are Steam sales perfectly designed to get us to buy cheap game packs we'll never play, and yet we keep buying? Yes.
I don't know. I really don't do much with Steam. I just get sort of wave the big pop-up screen out of the way and then get on with Puzzle Quest, usually. That's about my limited experience with Steam.
Weird.
I am sort of immune to consumerism, which is a problem. I tend not to buy anything, really, if I can help it.
Steam sales are perfectly designed to make you buy stuff, whether or not you need it or not.
I wonder if they're having a damaging long-term effect.
Oh,
this is something I've remarked on before, is that are people just going to sit there and think, oh, that's a good game, I'll wait till that's only £3.
I'm doing that already.
Yeah, I bet you've got a list of games you're going to buy on Steam but are not going to touch.
Waiting for the sale.
Waiting for the Steam sale, yeah. So does that basically relegate game development back down to Spectrum prices? £3 for everything, you know.
But, which is what the phones have done already.
Yeah, but that's going to impact on development ultimately, isn't it? If people realise that they can't make a PC game and expect to get more than £3 a sale from it, that's going to have a knock-on effect, I think.
Yep. Hmm. Finally, yep. Round Peg 77. What innovations would you like to see in the next 5 years of gaming? What gimmick game mechanics are you a sucker for?
Hey,
I'm a sucker for the QuickTime event.
QuickTime event?
No, I hate
you. You're being ironic.
I want to see QuickTime events go away. Yeah. I think that they're a lazy way of trying to add interactivity to cutscenes, and they are not the solution to that problem.
I'd like to see the Trinity dead and buried, like the necrotic half risen corpse that it is, under the crossroads where no one will ever find it, in an unmarked grave with its throat cut face down. I'm getting really fed up with it, Hull, to be honest. Whoops, yeah. My two friends picked the wrong class and now I'm screwed forever. So, yes, I think in the next 5 years I'd like to see, well, I think Rift's making a good step towards it. Guild Wars was always a smart cookie in that regard. Guild Wars 2 will probably take the whole, we don't give a toss about the Trinity, and refine it even further.
Yeah.
I'd like to see in 5 years the idea that you need a tank, a healer and some DPS to get anything useful done and become a relic and a laughable concept from a bygone age, to be honest. That's a big thing. I'd like to see scaling instances that can cope with 3 players or 300.
Yeah.
You know, let's really go to town. If we're going to have these dynamic content and this scaling instances, let's make it so that there is no reason for me not to be able to go and hang out with all my friends and do an activity together that's meaningful. We
yeah, don't it want could the be wrong... some awesome evenings there for everyone.
Absolutely, everyone wins. And well, big deal. Oh, so we don't have specialisation anymore. Big deal. Let's let everyone... Take a leaf out of Oblivion and Morrowind's book. Let's let everyone be awesome at everything.
I want levels to go away.
If we're friends anyway, we're going to team up regardless of the necessity to do so. And if we're only teaming up because we're required to do so to get anything done, then what kind of friendships are those anyway?
So, yeah, social does not equal social.
Let's stop designing social. Let's let players work that out. Thank you.
What else? I want to see a new generation of consoles.
Yeah.
And I want to see one console, not two.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
I think that I don't...
You think Sony and Microsoft should get together and make an awesome super console?
Yes, because I think that...
With a Wiimote.
Them fighting each other is stupid.
Yeah, possibly.
It's not going to happen, but...
Nah. Yeah, let's see. What else? Wish list.
I want MMOs to go away.
I like MMOs.
I know. MMOs...
I'd like to see much more development on this sort of fledgling concept of the massive, the not very massively co-op experience.
Yeah.
Sort of party-based cooperative gaming. Well, this whole Neverwinter thing that's coming, that's yep. basically going to be small teams without a massive server going off and just doing some co-op stuff. I'd like to see, I suppose, console raiding. You know, much as I'm not much of a fan of raiding itself, the idea that this game is mostly about 16 or 32 or 64 people all working together against something. Or does it always have to be team deathmatch?
Well, I want MMOs to go away and all RPGs in return to get an unlimited number of players.
Co-op through, gaming?
Through instancing and whatnot.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I think you can't beat the spectacle of an MMO in full swing, but very few situations in an MMO benefit from having 300 or 400 people about. I'm thinking just Planetside, basically, or maybe some of the more busy events for role-playing. I don't know. Hmm.
What else do we want? We want...
Gimmick gaming mechanics you're a sucker for. I'm a sucker for a good crafting system. I get lost in the minutiae of those very easily. I'm sort of dabbling with Rhizome at the moment and quite surprised how versatile that all is.
I'm quite a sucker for the old collectible.
The achievement unlocks and the big map of 100 things that are hidden yeah, around the world.
I love that. It's like world's best treasure hunts.
I do like a good epic storyline, you know, with the cutscenes and everything, which is something you typically expect more from single-player gaming, I suppose, but... I like the attempts that are made in MMOs to make that happen. Well, we'll have to see about the Old Republic. Maybe they can get the storytelling thing down.
Yeah, I'm still highly, highly suspicious that it's going to work.
Mm.
I think it may just end up upsetting both sides. What else?
I like massively over-the-top tanking. You know, much as I hate the Trinity, I just love the idea of being attacked by hundreds of monsters and surviving. That's not really tanking as such. It's just I'd like my character to be, you know, a superhero, a larger-than-life legend in his own lifetime sort of thing. You know, less of the let's design quests from the word go that are epic and exciting. Let's not have us start our apprenticeship by killing 10 rats. You know, oh god, look, a level 65 boar. No, at that point you should be doing heroic mega stuff, not dealing with wildlife after everything you've seen and done, you know.
I know a feature I want.
Yeah.
Either every game has to sell a CD of its soundtrack, or every game has to come with the soundtrack included as a...
As MP3s.
Yeah.
I think that's a... I can go with that one.
I don't mind buying them, but there are certain games which I'd love to get the soundtrack for, which aren't out.
Well, I mean, computer game music, often ridiculed. That documentary thing on Radio 4 that you maybe listened to, that was quite instructive. And I've always been a fan of computer game music. I think most of my general playlists happen to have more game music than normal music in these days. More widely available for more games.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else?
I think that's it, really. I'm quite easily pleased, to be honest. Except when I'm not.
You're never easily pleased. You're grumpy constantly.
So, shall we do the Twitter question? Oh, yeah.
Okay, we've done that, yeah.
So, what have you learnt this week?
I learnt that, that you can never own too many Daleks.
And I learnt just how... much I've come to rely on the right thumbstick being the camera, thank you very much.
Yes.
And not attack. So we'll talk about that in more in the what we're playing. Yeah.
So head along over to our forums, vanhenblot.com or consoling.tv.com/forum, and you can ask us new things for the next time we do this in 4 months' time, probably.
Yeah, we'll keep the thread going. More new questions, you all can, good stuff.
There's also other discussions going on in there. Mm. Tell your friends about the show, because we want more listeners.
Following on from Joe Hart's question, yeah, there. We don't know either.
We don't know either, but please, take all the help if anyone knows, tell us.
Podcast glory.
Yeah, we want more listeners. I mean, how does Gary Gannon do it? what else? Oh, yeah, and listen in next week for more
leave
news.
Leave a comment on iTunes. Is that something you normally say?
Leave a comment on iTunes.
Don't know how
apparently
works.
It does still help. and tell your guildmates.
Just have a fantastic week.
And be excellent.
With that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.